AV Web posted a picture today, a glider, banking through what looks like rough air, churning sky above, nothing but altitude below. And the first thing that went through my head was not concern for the pilot. It was envy. I'm Tower, and this is ATIS on Radio Hangar. That image stuck with me all morning. And I want to talk about what it represents, because that glider pilot knows something that most of us with engines forget the moment we leave the pattern. Turbulence to the average powered pilot is an obstacle, something to route around, descend out of, complain about on the pilot reports. But to the person flying that glider in today's AV Web photo, turbulence is the entire point. It is the energy source, it is the road. Before we get into it, today's program comes to you from aviationsoul.com. Aviation challenge coins built to mark the milestones, discipline, and pride behind every step in flight. From first solo to airline transport pilot, every coin tells a story. Worth checking out at aviationsoul.com. Now, let's talk about what that glider is actually doing up there. Soaring is one of the oldest forms of heavier-than-air flight, and in some ways the most demanding. You have no engine to bail you out. Every decision about altitude management, routing, and energy conservation is permanent. You cannot add power. You can only use what the atmosphere gives you, and if you misread it, you're landing in a field somewhere explaining yourself to a farmer. That sounds harsh. It is, in the best possible way. Soaring pilots develop an intuition for atmospheric energy that most engine-dependent pilots simply never build. They have to. Their lives depend on reading the sky correctly, not just avoiding the bad parts of it. There are three main categories of lift that soaring pilots hunt. The first is thermal lift, which is what most people picture when they think about gliders. Hot air rising from sun-warmed ground, a dark plowed field heats up faster than a green pasture. A parking lot heats up faster than a lake. The air above those warm surfaces starts rising, and it keeps rising until it hits the dew point and forms a cumulus cloud. That cumulus is a thermal marker. Glider pilots fly toward those clouds the same way you and I fly toward a runway. It is a navigational beacon made of water vapor. The second type is ridge lift. This is mechanical. Wind hits a mountain, a ridge, a cliff line, and it deflects upward. If you're flying on the windward side of a ridge at the right altitude, you can stay up almost indefinitely as long as the wind holds. Ridge soaring is stunning from the ground and extraordinary from the cockpit. The Appalachians in the eastern United States are famous for it. The Alleghenies in Pennsylvania host some of the most productive ridge soaring in the country. There are pilots who have flown 300 miles along those ridges without an engine. The third type, and the most powerful, is wave lift. This is what happens when wind flows over a mountain range and sets up a standing wave in the atmosphere, the way water flowing over a rock creates a wave downstream. The wave is invisible, but it can extend tens of thousands of feet above the terrain. Soaring pilots have used wave lift to set altitude records that most powered aircraft cannot reach without pressurization. The current world record for glider altitude stands at just over 76,000 feet, set in 2006 by Steve Fawcett and Einar Enevoldsen flying a pressurized sailplane called Perlin 1 over the Andes in Argentina. 76,000 feet in a glider. That is above the cruising altitude of a U-2 spy plane. The follow-on program, the Perlan 2 project, pushed that record even higher. Their goal was 100,000 feet, using polar stratospheric waves that form over the southern tip of South America. They flew to 96,000 feet in 2018. 96,000 feet, the sky is dark up there, you can see the curvature of the Earth, and they got there on the same mechanism that made that glider in today's photo book through turbulence. Atmospheric energy, moving air. Now here's the thing I want powered pilots to sit with. When you and I hit turbulence on a cross country in our Cessna or Piper or Cirrus, our instinct is to slow to maneuvering speed and wait for it to stop. That is the correct instinct. That is good airmanship, but we are reacting to the atmosphere as a problem. The glider pilot has trained themselves to read that same atmosphere as a conversation. The bump is not the enemy. The bump is information. A sudden jolt upward might mean a thermal just off the left wing. A sink that drops you 300 feet per minute might mean you are in the downdraft between two thermals and you need to turn now. Every sensation feeds a mental model of the invisible structure of the air around the aircraft. That is a skill that translates directly to powered flight, even if you never fly a glider again. Understanding what the atmosphere is doing and why, not just reacting to what it does to your aircraft, makes you a more complete pilot. The FAA has long recognized this. The glider add-on rating has historically been one of the more underappreciated items in the airman certification structure. It requires no written test if you already hold a powered rating. It requires demonstrating soaring proficiency, which means energy management, spot landing accuracy, and understanding of soaring weather. The practical test standards for gliders push hard on aeronautical decision-making because you're constantly making decisions with diminishing options. When a powered pilot adds a glider rating, they almost universally report that it sharpened their emergency landing skills. Pattern work without power. Every single flight. There is a version of this that the airlines figured out decades ago. Some major carriers, particularly in Europe, have historically encouraged or even required glider experience as part of the path toward professional certification. The logic is simple. A pilot who has spent hours managing energy without an engine is a pilot who understands what happens when the engine stops. That understanding is not academic. It is physical. It lives in your hands. The Soaring Society of America tracks accident data carefully, and what they find is instructive. Glider accidents are overwhelmingly pattern-related and landing-related, not structural failures in turbulence. The airframes are built for it. A certificated glider is stressed to +6 and -3 Gs in the utility category, and many competition sailplanes have even higher limits. The carbon fiber construction in modern gliders is extraordinarily strong relative to weight. That glider in today's photo, banking through rough air, is almost certainly well within its structural envelope. The pilot chose to be there. That is the key word. Chose. Now, let me connect this to something broader, because it touches on a gap in how we train powered pilots in the United States. Energy management is the core skill of aviating. Managing your kinetic energy, your potential energy, your options at any given moment. Every emergency procedure, every off-airport landing, every engine-out glide to a runway traces back to that fundamental understanding. And we teach it to powered pilots largely in the abstract. We cover the numbers. Best glide speed, glide ratio. Descent rate. We practice engine out procedures with the throttle at idle and the instructor's hand hovering near the controls. What we rarely do is let pilots actually sit with the silence. The engine off reality, the knowledge that no amount of wishful thinking brings the power back and that every foot of altitude is a finite resource you will not get back. Glider pilots live that reality on every flight, not as an emergency, as a Tuesday afternoon. The Experimental Aircraft Association runs soaring programs through some of its chapters, and Young Eagle events occasionally incorporate glider rides specifically for this reason. The organizations that run youth aviation programs have started to recognize that soaring is one of the fastest ways to build genuine aeronautical instinct, because the feedback loop is immediate and honest. You read the sky wrong, your altitude suffers. You read it right, you climb. The atmosphere tells you immediately whether your mental model was accurate. For those of you who have been flying powered aircraft for years and never made the trip to a glider operation, I would put it to you directly. It is worth your time. One weekend, a few hours of duel, and a check ride that will make you a better pilot in whatever you normally fly. The soaring community in the United States is small but deeply knowledgeable. There are glider operations tucked into airports all over the country that you may never have noticed. They are often quiet during the week and active on weekends. The pilots there are, without exception in my experience, the most atmosphere-aware people in any given airspace. They have to be. That image on AVWeb today, that glider in turbulent air, looks dramatic. From the outside, it probably looks like a pilot in trouble. From the inside, I would guess it looks like exactly where that pilot intended to be. Reading the air, working the energy, flying the atmosphere instead of just flying through it. That is the difference soaring teaches. One more thing worth mentioning. The fall soaring season in the continental United States is approaching. September and October bring some of the most productive thermal and wave conditions of the year, particularly in the Mountain West and the Appalachians. If you have ever been curious about glider flying, the next 6 weeks are among the best times to try it. Call your local soaring club. Most of them offer introductory rides for a reasonable cost, and see what the sky looks like when you stop using an engine to ignore it. The information for today's segment came from AVWeb, the Soaring Society of America, and the FAA's Airman Certification Standards. You can find us at radiohangar.com. Stay curious about the sky. I'm Tower. We'll talk again soon.